It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good Thursday morning, everyone. We've got lots to talk about on Laker Hockey Talk this morning. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. Good morning, Coach.
Morning. It's game week. You know, I feel like in these times, we never knew we were going to get here. I think it's, you know, over 280 days since we last played, and boy, does it feel good to finally be in a game week.
Well, you know, you look at what's been going on, too. I think it's been 8 or 9 weeks now. You've been practicing, and I know you've tried to make it it's not hard practices as we've cut back. Guys have to be getting really bored with practice because these are Division I athletes. They want to compete.
Yeah, you hit it. You know, the staleness at end. You know, I think there's a lot of things we did get accomplished and feel good about a lot of areas. Certainly a lot of unknown. We haven't played in so long, and the new guys and things like that. So a lot of things different in this COVID times. But certainly when you practice that long, there's some staleness, there's some boredom. So we try to address it just by being really creative, mixing in skill days where we just have forwards on the ice and then D on their own session. You know, days off, certainly we're part of it. Days where we just did small area games and tried to make it a competition internally. The last few Saturdays, you know, different scrimmages. We kind of had a North America versus the world for a couple of weekends in a row, and that brought some energy and some competitiveness. But like you said, these guys are kind of, you know, they've been competing at such a high level for so long that this is what they really thrive on and flourish on, and so to take that away is a really challenging thing. So they're really chomping at the bit to line up out on the ice and not see a Laker crest across from them. To see that Husky on the other jersey is something they're really looking forward to.
Yeah, Michigan Tech's here this weekend. It'll be a Saturday, a 5 p.m. start, 5:07 to be precise, and then Sunday afternoon at 3:07. These are non-conference games. And the real bad news for our fans is there will be no fans admitted. The new COVID-19 edict that came out this week, we can't have fans in there. We were planning on having as many as 500 people be able to come in, but now it's going to be broadcasters and TV people and off-ice officials and referees and players and coaches, and that's it.
Yeah, I can certainly tune in and listen to Bill Crawford call it. But, you know, that's hard, obviously. You know, it's going to be different. I was able to connect with Mel Pearson a little bit about their games against Arizona State and just, you know, in an empty Yost Ice Arena. I guess they played. They had a little bit of fans in there before the new rules came out. But that's going to be a challenge for our players, and certainly it's tough for us, you know. And I guess in some ways maybe it's easier than the limited of 500, because that was going to be really challenging to divvy those tickets up, and you know, you're going to hurt some feelings and leave some people out that we certainly want in our building and that are loyal fans and loyal supporters, whether it's students or longtime season ticket holders or sponsors. So that was a really challenging thing for our administration. And you know, David Pateson and Rod Handley, Dr. Handley, all of our senior administration and our athletic administration deserve just a huge kudos for getting us to this point. You know, we still got to get through a couple tests to make sure we play, but we're on track. And without our administration being on board and really working hard, and David with Hunter Perry and Kelsey Smith, you know, we wouldn't be here. And really to Michigan Tech as well, working with Joey and his administration, you know, it took a lot to get to this point. And, you know, we're really appreciative. Again, our players have really struggled to have their sport taken away. There's a lot of hard things going on, obviously, throughout the world and our community with what's going on for our small businesses and our school children. You know, this brings some normalcy to a chunk of certainly our student athletes and fans. We're very grateful for that. We don't, you know, we don't take it lightly that we get this opportunity, and we're hoping that anybody that can listen into the broadcast or check out the stream, you know, enjoys what they see, and we bring a couple hours of maybe some normalcy to everybody that enjoys Laker hockey.
Yeah, we should make mention our interest is with 99.5 Yes FM. That's where we broadcast all Laker hockey games and have for a long, long time. But we're going to have Flow TV involved as well, and our feed will be on that from home games, and then the feed from the radio crew at the visiting place will be providing play-by-play when we're on the road. But you can pay a monthly fee, and it's nominal, and see the Lakers play every game too. So we should mention that here. That's important because our fans are not going to be able to get in, at least until the middle of December. It could be this will all change when we get into the WCHA regular season in January. It could be we will have some fans watching.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, as you said, we as of 4 days ago, you know, some information had gone out about how you get tickets and who's going to be included. And then certainly Sunday night press conference from Governor Whitmer changed all of that. So it is day by day and you know, sometimes hour by hour. You know, I do want to, Bill, you mentioned 99.5 and certainly, you know, the partnership we have with you is greatly appreciated. So we definitely want to encourage everybody to tune in and listen to your call on Saturday evening there. But a lot of our other sponsors have stuck by, you know, obviously very challenging times for all of our business owners in town and throughout Michigan. But the majority of our sponsors have been able to stick with Laker Athletics through these trying times, and we're very appreciative, and you know, you'll hear a lot of those on the call with Bill on 99.5, and some of those will be worked into the stream as well. So again, a lot of appreciation to all of our corporate sponsors, and you know, hopefully you are back in our building, you know, it's like Bill said, sometimes after Christmas, and you know, hopefully we're in a better spot and we can get people back in the building.
Well, it's going to be interesting. There's certainly a lot of changes here. It's even going to be very difficult to get in the building, even for the broadcasters. You've got to jump through a number of hoops in order to be able to get upstairs and call a game. And we've got to wear masks or face shields. And it's going to be totally different. And there isn't going to be any atmosphere. And I think that's going to have a big effect on players, coaches, is certainly our broadcast. There's no background. We don't have the facilities or the ability to pump in some crowd noise, et cetera. So it's going to be quiet. And, you know, everybody in the building is going to be able to hear what's going on our broadcast, which is kind of embarrassing in a way, but it's going to be the only way we can do it. And a lot of people are going to be very interested. The Lakers have a lot of fans, and there are going to be a lot of people following what's going on here. And Michigan Tech's people will be following what's going on. They've got a pretty good team.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a way different feel, as you said. I mean, nobody has lived through this. Again, you know, reaching out to Mel a little bit there and just getting their experience of what it was like to play those games. There's a Thursday night game, Arizona State at Michigan State. I believe that's still on. You know, just trying to prepare our guys a little bit. We haven't spent much time on it. Obviously, they're aware, you know, that there's nobody in the building, and so it's going to be a little different feel that way for sure. You know, our game operations will be normal with, you know, pregame music and entries. You know, we'll make a little bit of adjustment on that and just come off our bench, not the Zamboni as in years past. You know, we will have music in between whistles, but you're right, our players, and I think that's, you know, where the home crowd or the home ice advantage, you know, is gonna swing the other way. Usually you can rely on your fans to pick you up or, you know, keep you rolling when you score a big goal or get you back in the game after a penalty kill, things like that. You know, we're not going to have that home ice advantage. Certainly we'll still have last change and be able to kind of try to work on some matchups and take care of that, but we're really going to miss our fans, and I think that home ice swings the other way. You know, without fans in the building, it's going to allow the visitors to come in, and you know, when you're on the road, you want to take the crowd out of it and kind of plod along a little bit and don't let the crowd get going. So it's going to be an advantage for the visiting team in this situation or in this era, you know, we've got to manage it, and we've got to be ready to play and bring our own energy and enthusiasm.
Again, this weekend, Saturday at 5 and Sunday afternoon at 3, the Lakers will play host to Michigan Tech. That is a non-conference series. It's kind of a tune-up for the season. But then you're going to go right to, isn't that the series with Northern Conference play switched from I-500 weekend? And we do go to Northern next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And then we go down to Ferris State for a non-conference series. We actually play them here on Friday and then go there on Sunday. So we've got 5 games here relatively quickly after having none for so long.
Yeah, it's almost a pro schedule, and you know, I'll get into that momentarily, why it looks the way it does. That first Northern game is a non-conference at Northern Michigan because we host the league games this year. It'll be the following Wednesday. I believe it's December 2nd, I think. Mm-hmm. That is a WCHA regular season contest, so that will be a very important game for the first league points, I believe, anywhere in the WCHA. And then I-500 weekend, we will still have a single game with Northern Michigan. But it was not possible for them to come to town and play 2 games with hotels and accommodations with I-500. Obviously, we're all hopeful I-500 is still on at that point. But that was why those games got pulled out. So we were able to add that Wednesday night game in. And that's part of the reason why the schedule's condensed. The other part is, you know, for our fans listening, you know, we started school August 10th. And if people think back to those times, there were still, when kids traveled here, certainly our Europeans, but our Canadians, I believe, as well. We had a 14-day quarantine period prior to classes. So most of our guys were here in July, and they've been here a long, long time. So we're kind of hopeful that they can head home for the holidays. Obviously, that's kind of a touch and go. We'll see what happens as we continue to move forward. But as of now, we've condensed our schedule a little bit to allow our players to go home since they've been here since July.
Well, it's certainly interesting. I mean, it's no fun going through all this, but we should talk a little bit about the testing, et cetera, too. We haven't had any positive tests with our players. I know a lot of people will be critical. There are going to be people who say, well, we should just wash the season, not play any hockey, and see if we can get over this COVID-19. And that's one theory, but these are Division I athletes. They want to play the game. We've got 7 seniors on this team. They don't want their senior year to be washed out, even if they were to be given it back. They're pretty much done with their academic career, sure, and they want to move on. So, we're trying to play these things, and all the teams are in the same boat. I think you see that with college football. You're going to see it with college basketball. These are competitors. These are highly tuned athletes. If they do get the COVID, and some have gotten it, it's usually something that does not affect them like it does someone who's got a compromised health system.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm a hockey coach, and I look at it from that point of view. And like you said, there's a lot of different beliefs and information and out there that, I'm sure we could spend hours on. But I look at it with my coaching hat. And like you said, these guys want to play hockey. Miroslav Muka left his home country in Europe in eighth grade to move to the U.S. with no family and really no idea what he was getting himself into to pursue, certainly pro hockey one day, but the NCAA opportunity. So, these guys have put their whole lives into this sport, and they do want to compete, as you've said, and to do it in a safe manner. And I think we're able to do that. Again, a lot of credit to our Pat Sarny, our athletic trainer, has done a remarkable job to handle all the information that comes to him, the testing procedures, protocols, all that stuff, working with senior administration. Mike Beasley heads a lot of that up with his unit. So there's been a lot that's gone into it. But we want to play, as you said, and we're seeing that across. I think there are ways to do that in a safe, responsible manner, and that's what our focus is. We're a couple days out, and we're going to do everything. I think our guys have sacrificed a lot, not only the long time they've had off, but giving up a lot of things to try to remain COVID-free and give themselves a chance to play. You mentioned the seniors. They're all here to have a great year and pursue pro hockey. We're going to do everything we can in my power as a coach to put them in a position to be successful and to pursue that competition.
Yeah, we're going to talk during our program this morning about the players individually, maybe set up a little bit of a line chart for fans and talk about, we've got a few injuries too and people who won't be able to play the first couple of games or first game or so, and we'll talk about that. But this on paper looks pretty good. We've got good goaltending. We've got some people who can score goals, have proven that in the past, and I think defensively we should be better than we've been in recent seasons.
Yeah, I mean, you hit a lot there, but we've been encouraged early on. I've liked our team and what we've been able to see and get through. A very experienced goaltender is, I think, a very good place to start. Obviously Merrick's didn't have the start he wanted, and that was not just on him. That was a team issue with our team defense early last year. But I think come mid to late November, we went from very poor defensively to a top 10 or 15 unit from that point on. A lot of that led by Merrick's mittens. So it was a really good turnaround doing that. We did that without Colin Sockerman when we lost him for the year. So that loss is maybe not as big as it normally would be because, we've already kind of, we're forced to move on from Colin, unfortunately, and even though he was a tremendous player for us. So we've kind of handled that loss, most of last half of last season, but it's a pretty experienced D-Corps overall. With really, four or five returners that have played a lot of big minutes and critical minutes. We've got Lucas Keibel back there wearing a C for us and a very good player, a good leader. Will Rydell, our top leading returning defenseman from last year, has made just tremendous progress over the last couple of years, is a really good player for us, really ready for a great senior year as an assistant captain as well. Jacob Nordquist, we know what a great player Jacob is for us. I think Arvid Henriksen has taken some really big strides, and I know you've seen a little bit of of that. But Arvid has had a really good summer, really dedicated early on here to improving his weaknesses and continuing to play to his strengths. And I think he's looked really good. So we're looking for big things out of him. And, you know, Mitch Oliver is a little bit probably a couple weeks out on returning to our lineup. Unfortunately, he was injured late last year, and due to COVID, you know, we got kind of a late start on getting him back to full health. So Mitch will really be missed, and it'll leave some opportunities for some younger guys that either haven't played yet, freshmen coming in, or a guy like Mike Manera, who does return and is looking to kind of solidify a spot in the lineup. So the top end is very, very experienced and very good players, and a couple opportunities for some younger guys mixed in on the back end.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we'll talk in depth about the lineup here in just a few minutes. You know, a big question right now would be group activities, et cetera. I know a lot of our guys live off campus. In fact, most of them do, other than freshmen. How do you keep these guys from getting into situations where they could, you know, get into a COVID spread type? Do you preach a lot to them about maintaining health, et cetera, and staying away from, you know, group activities?
Yeah, you really do. You know, it's you know, and I tell them all the time that I'm glad I'm not 22 in college in this era. Like, I can just empathize with, you know, our college students or our high school juniors and seniors who've had, you know, given up their sports and their seasons. And, you know, I know there's sacrifices everywhere, different age groups, but, you know, for these young kids that you know, thrive on competition and love to be part of a team, you know, they've really sacrificed a lot. So we have preached it. And again, I think our guys, for the most part, have done a really good job to give up a lot of those social aspects of that is, you know, a pretty important part of this time of their lives. You know, they're here to be hockey players, you know, along with getting that education. And I think they're willing to make that sacrifice for hopefully a little while longer, because they have done a good job of that. But, you know, Bill, to your question, you know, more, you know, we're talking about a seating chart on the bus. You know, that's how in depth we've tried to get. You know, we don't want somebody that lives off campus sitting next to a freshman in the dorms. You know, we can keep social distance on the bus to some regards by housing units or groups as best we can with masks and things like that. So, you know, we've done that in the locker room. I mean, we usually, you know, guys obviously have their assigned locker, but we've brought chairs into social distance. We're going to have seating assignments on the bus. You know, when we eat team meals, it's going to be with your housing pod. When we get on the road, if things don't look differently, when we get into overnight stays, usually we would put a freshman with a senior and kind of provide some leadership and some experience of how we handle ourselves on the road. But we will go to rooming with roommates this year because of COVID and trying to limit exposures and things like that. So it's really been overwhelming to navigate through the information that's coming, not only from the state of Michigan, but the NCAA and the WCHA protocol. But we're really trying to do our best to keep our guys healthy and safe and give them opportunities to play and compete.
And it has worked pretty well thus far. We haven't had any positive tests. We've had a couple of guys get sick, but it's not with COVID. It's with maybe the flu or a cold or something like that. But we should be pretty much ready to go. We do have a couple of players who can't play the first game or so for other reasons, but we should be a pretty good, you know, I'm going to go into depth chart here in a few minutes. So we're going to take a break here in our show this morning in just a moment, but lots of interesting stuff going on and so much news. Every day something changes. You know, 4 days ago we thought we'd have 500 fans in the building, and now we're going to have no fans in the building. So we're going to take a break here this morning. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.